Hey guys, welcome to the first ever episode of my very own talk show. And in today's episode, we're lucky enough to have Mern as our first ever special guest. So, this is Mern talking about his experience in the music industry. But before we get into that, this is my newest release single, Witchcraft, which you can listen to on every streaming platform. You can click the link in the description to listen to it anywhere. Hope you guys enjoy. For our first episode, we got a talented Singaporean producer and DJ, Mern. Say hi, Mern. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up? Thank you for doing this.
Hey, man, no problem. I'm glad to have you on the show, man. All right, so we got the first question with us right now. How old were you when you first started making music?
I started making music when I was, I think, 17 or 18, back in 2011, 2012, when I was starting to get into electronic music at the time. So it was Avicii, it was Deadmau5, and eventually just one day I just decided to download FL Studio, a program to make music, and then everything really just started from there.
So you said you used FL Studio when you were 17, right?
Yep.
So are you still using it now?
I'm not using it now. I think I stopped when right before they added a Mac version. I just switched to Ableton midway because all my friends were using Ableton. I wanted to work on projects with them, so I had to learn how to, you know, I was tired of just rendering stems, which means like breaking up a song. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just picked up Ableton, and I think today, if you told me how to use FL Studio, I think I would still be able to get around.
So how old are you now?
I will be turning 25 next year.
Wow, 25. So you've been in the music industry for 6-7 years?
Yes, roughly around there, yeah.
So do you think you progressed a lot throughout the 6-7 years of making music?
I think it's just a lot of learning experiences, and I think there's no overnight success, really. I think anything that I do today, yep. It feels like I've been doing it for a long time because you know, it changes so slowly. Yep. But I think that's great if you want to have a long, sustainable career in electronic music.
So you have so many talented friends such as Sun Hollow. Were you guys friends since you started, or like were you a fan of their work since before your career took off?
Oh, I think for a lot of people that I was friends with, I'm friends with and I look up to, I was listening to their music first, and I reached out mostly, you know, on Twitter, on email, just on the basis of like a music related request, like, hey, can I remix this thing for you? But after that, in you know, as time went by and we hung out in real life, you know, at festivals or shows or, you know, getting coffee, they just eventually became my friends because they're all just super cool people.
So recently your new album In Search of Solitude dropped. What does your album mean? I know you have talked about it on Instagram, but maybe you can share more about it and the creative process behind it.
The album was really basically the first time I actually tried doing something that was long form and 10 songs, because all my life, I mean, to me, I felt like I've just been making tracks and tracks, like each song would have a specific purpose. So after a while, you know, after doing that for 5-6 years, I just said, you know, I think it's time to just sit down, you know, have an idea for an album and then execute that idea, which is what I did. And I really fell in love with the process, so I think it's definitely something I want to do even more in the future.
So did your most recent release, In Search of Solitude, exceeded your expectations, or did you already have a feeling that it was going to do well?
I really don't have any expectations when it comes to my music. There's a saying that goes, any review that you read of your own music is not as a actual piece of, you know, learning, it's just entertainment for you. Because I feel like a lot of music to me, even I might not like it, but I feel like the original artist who made that song, you know, doesn't really care what I think or what anyone thinks. And I think to be a good artist in the future, you just have to have that mentality. You should be making music just for yourself.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we're gonna take a break right now and we'll be right back after a song from his debut album, In Search of Solitude, which you can listen to by clicking the link in the description. This is Waltz Away with Carl.
Is it my imagination? Did I see you on the coast? You were standing in the water ahead, but you're not getting any closer. Was it pure intoxication? Was it made of solid gold? 'Cause I haven't felt a thing in a while. Now I can't let you go.
If you enjoyed it, by clicking the link in the description after you've completed this whole interview. Anyways, back to the question. So Mern, if you weren't making music, what do you think you would be doing right now?
If I weren't making music, I think I would do something that I, well, I honestly have no idea right now. I think I would enjoy, you know, like a 9-to-6 job, or, you know, doing something that I like. I would probably be a writer or journalist, or, you know, work at a university, writing papers, doing research, because, you know, that's calm, that's cool, there's a pretty low stress level.
So if you weren't making music, you'd be doing like something completely different. No one would have thought about it.
Yeah, so, something totally different.
Do you have a background in all these things, or are you just interested in them?
Reading as a kid, and then when I went to secondary school and JC, I did quite badly in all my other subjects, but English and writing was the only one that I enjoyed. And right now I'm in SMU studying political science, which is something I, you know, genuinely enjoy talking about, reading. So yeah, I think it would come naturally to me.
Oh, so you're still studying?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that. All right, so now we know. How do you balance your studying life and performing life?
I don't balance at all. I think to me, music is definitely more important. And I feel like in the Singapore education system, there's a lot of emphasis on, you know, getting good grades. But to me, you know, after almost a decade and a half of studying, I've come to the conclusion that good grades don't mean that you're smart. I think the main point of learning is so that you learn skills to learn even more.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, completely understand.
Like, even after you leave, secondary school or university, I think it should be that you come out of that with a set of skills that let you continue learning for your entire lifetime. Because once you stop learning, that's when you get complacent. That's when you get, you know, that's when you fall behind from society.
Yep.
To me, so I think that's I'm very privileged to to have understood that, and so I don't really care about grades or achievements when it comes to, you know, schooling. I don't care about getting 90s or 100s on a test, you know, as long as I understand the material, and as long as I understand you know, the main point the reading, etc. I think that my goals are fulfilled.
All right, how has making music changed your life, man?
what a question. I feel it's on two fronts, right? On the good side, it's that, you know, I'm doing something that I genuinely enjoy for a living. I do something that's fun for a living. You know, I'm in the act of creating every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just having a good time with that. Like, even if the song doesn't come out, or even if what I'm working on doesn't become a song, I still enjoy that process every single day. And I think the same can't be said for everyone who's stuck, you know, in a job that it's just to make money or just to make ends meet. Like, for me, it's, I'm having fun and, you know, I'm able to get by just by making music. Right. Yeah. On the bad side is that literally everything in my life now is connected to music in some way. Achievements, they're connected to music. My friend groups, they're all connected to music. You know, it's, so in the future, if the ideas stop flowing or if something happens that I won't be able to make music, I immediately lose all of that. So I'm just putting my entire life just on this one thing, which I think is not very healthy. So I try to, you know, balance it out by, you know, having different interests.
So you talked about if you're gonna lose your friends if you're ever gonna stop making music and your creativity don't flow, right? You know, what about those people that stop making music? Or Aerocord, for example.
Oh, what happened to Aerocord?
What? You don't?
No, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I think he's gonna either stop Aerocord project, or he's just not making music in general. Yeah.
Yeah, I think usually when someone stops a project, it really means that they're gonna quit music forever, right? If nothing serious happens, I mean, I hope a lot of people who take a break from music still enjoy the process. And so maybe he's taking a little break. But yeah, I mean, he could be feeling that, you know, everything in his life is connected to achievements in music, and maybe he just wanted more of that. I don't really know what he wants. But for me, yeah, it's a concern I have, you know, having everything in my life be connected to music.
As a small producer, I feel that, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be connected with many more creative musicians and all that. But I'm not at your stage yet, so I can't really judge, you know?
No, I mean, I feel like you shouldn't have these thoughts when you're just starting out. You should just focus on the music 100%.
Yeah, I understand that. So, do you have a favorite album or EP?
My favorite album is You by Tourist. It was released in 2016. It's titled You. It's just one, you know, one capital U. Yeah, and it's an instrumental album. And that's something that I've not been taking for granted. It just helped me realize that you can have emotion and you can have a whole story being told just instruments and synthesizers, which.
What about favorite song though?
In the world or like in the past 6 months or like
it could be anything, you know. All right, how about all-time favorite song?
Okay, my all-time favorite song is easily Icarus by Madian. I feel like a lot of people that, you know, make music like me or have the same influences like me would say the same, because that song is just amazing to me. And it was one of the first songs that I think essentially changed my life, because I was listening to that song and I was like, wow, I didn't know you could do this with a laptop and a computer, you know.
So that's how you started?
Yeah, that's when I started making music.
Wow. Many people, you know, they don't really know that one song can change their whole life. Like,
yeah, no,
like, you know, they just listen to it and they don't really understand the meaning of it. They just listen to it because it's good. I mean, that's great. But like, you know, sometimes these songs inspire others and we don't know that, you know. It's crazy. So this is a serious question. Have you ever thought about quitting producing or DJing?
I've never ever thought about quitting music, because I think what that involves is just putting a lot of expectations on yourself. So once you do that, you're full of expectations. You start feeling stressed, you know, and then you see music like a race or a competition when it's really not, right? Music's not a business. Music's not a thing where you have to be the best. So when people say quit music, they're usually quitting that part of it. They're quitting the competition, the stress that comes, you know, with releasing a song every month or something like that. So, I mean, to me, music is a lifestyle that I can freely step in and out at any time. So when I'm making music, I'm making music. I don't think, like, I don't feel stressed or I don't have any expectations of myself. So I've never come to the point where I'm like, you know, I'm just going to quit.
Hope you never will, eh? All right, so name one person that you would like to collaborate with. You know, it could be alive or dead or whoever, you know.
If I could bring back someone from the dead, I'll just probably want to talk to people like, I don't know, Michael Jackson, David Bowie. I wouldn't even try to make music with them, but I just wanted to know what their process was, or, you know, how they made music, things like that.
Like how Michael Jackson made Billie Jean.
Yeah, I mean, that's an iconic song. He's just an iconic act.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you. So what have you learned from being a musician?
I've learned not to take everything too seriously.
Yeah, for sure.
You should definitely be able to laugh at yourself and have fun.
Yep.
What music gave me was this sense of, you know, being able to look at things from afar, you know, not realize that sometimes you're just so caught up in your room just making music all the time, producing, that you forget there's a whole world out there, right?
Yep.
So what music taught me was just, you know, not to take anything too seriously, not to have any expectations, not to, you know, stress out too much, because at the end of the day, you're having fun, you know, people are having fun listening to your music, you're spreading joy, like there's no need to be worried about things like
that. So describe your feeling when you first found out that you were booked for a show. Was it festival or clubs, and when and where was that?
It was 2015 in Indonesia. It was Jakarta Warehouse Project.
Wait, that was your first ever show? Wow.
That was my first ever international as Mern.
Was it in Bali?
I was playing a lot in Singapore.
Oh wait, yeah, no,
it's
Jakarta.
Back then it was in Jakarta, Back then I was playing a lot of shows in Singapore at Zouk, at like bottle clubs. But usually those were shows that they said Mern, but I wasn't playing any kind of Mern music, right? Wow. It was just big room or house music. So it didn't feel like actual sets. But this was the first time in my life that I got booked for, you know, my sound and playing a set that was all mine in front of people. And it was a crazy feeling. I just felt that, like, wow, why are people so dumb? Why would they want me to play this festival, right? It was mostly just surprising. But after that, it just felt surreal. Like, I think that was the moment when I realized, like, okay, maybe I can, you know, play more shows. Maybe this thing can work out.
So your show was booked like a week or so, or how does it work?
No, I think shows are booked like months and years in advance. For me, that show, it was definitely one-off. It was pretty last minute too. And no, I'm just happy it worked out. Like, I think once I played that show, I got more confident when it came to shows. I put more thought into my life process. I made more music, and then that naturally helped.
So you performed in many major events like Ultra Music and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you also got signed to Ultra Music and Matt Deason, right?
It was Matt Deason first in 2015.
Oh, so 2015, Matt Deason and Ultra Music.
Yes, Ultra Music this year.
Oh, nice. Have you ever dreamt or thought about that ever happening? And, you know, being the first Singaporean from Matt Deason?
No, well, not at all. I think we should... I'm not very comfortable with all the accolades people give me for being like, oh, the first Singaporean to do this, to do that. But because I feel that, you know, people, like, people's ideas and people's achievements are always as a result of their environment and their structure. Like, I wouldn't be the first Singaporean if Singapore was still a fishing... I mean, if we didn't have, you know, fast internet in this day and age, if I wasn't introduced to Avicii or Tomorrowland or things like that, I would never have decided to start making music. So I feel for me, I didn't expect to be... I didn't say, like, okay, I'm going to be the first Singaporean to do this. I'm going to be the first Singaporean to do that. Because essentially, if you wait long enough, someone's going to have to do it, right? Just like how records are broken every year. And in the past, people thought, oh, you can never run under 10 seconds for the 100 meter. And then after a while, you know, people who trained right, people who had more advanced forms of diets and nutrition, they eventually broke it. Yeah, oh, Usain Bolt was the fastest, but... My point was that, yeah, for me, I never really thought that it was special being the first one about anything, but I just hope that it helps inspire more people to do the same thing.
Yeah, it definitely inspires me, man. So you performed at Soundport Clarke. How does it feel to showcase your album In Search of Solitude for the first time ever in Singapore?
It was cool, and it's actually the first time that I'm not playing this in a venue or a club, right? It's open air, it's free admission. I think things like that, they really help the community and they really help raise interest in electronic music in the first place. So yeah, I'm just really humbled that they picked me to do it, and hopefully it turns out fine.
Yeah, it was also all ages, so I get to go. And it's gonna be like my first ever electronic concert, and you're performing with Dumu, so...
That's tight, man.
So, we have two more questions. So the first one is, what are you gonna do to grow and progress in the future?
I think I'm just gonna keep learning. I'm just gonna keep on learning new techniques, new ways to, you know, be at ease with my life, to be a better person, to, you know, learn how to give back once in a while. I think, and something else that's really important is getting a routine going. Like, you need to have a couple of days where you just sit down and, you know, force yourself to open Ableton and then just let go from there. The next music that comes out for me, nothing's been scheduled yet because I've been working on just more demos in general and just experimenting. Like, never be afraid to experiment.
That's true. Do you have any words for upcoming artists or, you know, people who aspire to be producers or musicians?
Yeah, I'd say if you're doing music or if you have a passion or if you're creating something that you enjoy, it could be music, could be art, could be video games, could be, you know, something that's not traditionally accepted, because none of it is really, it's really up to you. Like, no one can decide how you look, how you talk, or, you know, how your music sounds like, or what influences you have. And those invisible factors usually determine how successful you are. Like, if I did not speak English, I would not be the first Singaporean to play Tomorrowland, like, to be honest, to be completely honest. So a lot of factors that determine success are usually outside of your control. But you can improve those odds to, you know, keep learning and to realize that, you know, eventually something will hit.
Man, that's really inspiring me.
That's tight, man. I mean, like, to be honest, the reason why a lot of people in Singapore don't break out, or like if there was, because there wasn't anyone before me, mm-hmm. is because the industry right now is very oriented towards, of course, America, right? Yeah. And there are huge business structures in America to make sure that American artists or people from the Western world always get first, yep. or, you know, have priority. So it's hard for like a native Asian person like me to enter that scene, because there's already so much stacked against me. Like people will be like, oh, I don't know where Singapore is. Or like,
yeah. uh-huh.
And you just have to keep, I was saying that people that I work with, or people that, you know, I make music with, they still don't know where Singapore is, or they tell me, oh, your English is super good, right?
Yep.
So from the get-go, we are disadvantaged to begin with.
Yeah, they don't even know that Juul costs like a few billion dollars.
Yeah. Anyway, I was going to say, there's just a lot stacked against us, and a lot stacked against like young Southeast Asian kids just trying to make music,
yeah.
or even break out. You kind of have to look like them, dress like them, talk like them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think just if you don't succeed, it's not totally your fault. You know,
yep.
there's so many factors.
You know, some people say that nowadays it's not really about the music. It's about social followings and all that. But what do you think?
Of course, I want to say yes, but also no. Like if you talk to any booking agent or management agency, they'll always say it's about the music. But I mean, as a listener, you can tell sometimes when it's not about the music, right?
Yep.
So my advice is just not be concerned with people like that, yeah. or people doing things like that. And just, yeah, focus on what you love.
I think that's all the time that we have for today. I hope to do more interviews with many more artists in the future.
Tight.
Comment which artist you want to see me interview down below, and I'll try to make it happen. And thank you, man, for being the first special guest for this
interview. Thank you, dude. Hopefully your show goes well.
Thank you, man, and all the best to you, too.